Isaiah chapter 66, thus says Yahweh, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build to me, and what place shall be my rest? For all these things has my hand made. And so all these things came to be, says Yahweh, but to this man will I look, even to him who is poor and of a broken spirit and who trembles at my word. So this just shows how God is not interested in temples. He never actually wanted a temple when David first had the idea of building one. And this was the sort of argument that he used. And this is quoted again in the New Testament about the temple by Stephen, that you cannot contain God. How foolish to think that you can build a house of bricks and mortar and there God sort of is. The idea is, no, you can't do this. But I will live in the heart of people who are of a broken spirit. So, those who are of a broken spirit are those who are humble, those for whom life has not gone well, those who are not proud, those who realize their sins, and he says, and who trembles at my word, those who are humble to God's word in the Bible. Those who don't immediately try and start thinking, ah, oh, yeah, well, you can't trust the Bible. Ah, yeah, well, yeah, you don't have to do that. That's just what it says there in the Bible. Those who read it and believe it and tremble at it, this is the heart in which God can dwell, the God who is so far away, the God who's made heaven and earth. He who kills an ox is as he who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, as he who breaks a dog's neck, he who offers an offering, as he who offers pig's blood, he who burns frankincense, as he who blesses an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. So he's saying that really all the sacrifices of Israel at this time were not acceptable. It was as if they were doing unclean things. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. So God can lead people to believe things which are not true. For example, we're told in Thessalonians that because people did not receive the love of the truth, God sent them a delusion that they might believe a lie. It's one reason why people have got wrong ideas, partly, is because God has actually deceived them. God confirms them in not being humble to him. So it's only those who are humble to his word who will actually come to the true understanding of him. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they didn't listen. And God speaks to us in the Bible, but people don't listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I did not delight. Hear the word of Yahweh, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you, who cast you out for my name's sake, have said, let Yahweh be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is those who shall be disappointed. So this is what's going to happen at the last day when Jesus comes back. There will be a big reversal of everything. Those who thought that they were so good, as we read in Isaiah 65, who say, oh, don't come near me, I'm holier than you. It's those who are going to be condemned. And it's they who will be disappointed, those who had such a high opinion of themselves, rather than having a broken and contrite heart that trembles at God's word. A voice of tumult from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of Yahweh that renders recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says Yahweh? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? I think the idea is that the time of Israel's suffering in the last days is being likened to the labour pains of a woman when she's bringing forth a child. But God is saying that I will cut those days short, and she will have the child without having to endure the pain for as long as maybe she was intended to. And so that's not the only time we read that. We're told, Jesus says, that for the sake of the chosen ones, he will shorten the days. So although in one sense it seems that Jesus is delaying his coming, in another sense the time is actually being hastened. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied at the comforting breasts, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says Yahweh, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you will be nursed. You will be carried on her side and will be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. You will see it, and your heart shall rejoice. And your bones will flourish like the tender grass, and the hand of Yahweh shall be known toward his servants. He will have indignation against his enemies. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire, and his chariots shall be like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fierceness and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead judgment on all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. So there is going to be judgment, and a lot of people are going to be destroyed. There is no doubt about that from these pictures in the Bible. And we are not to just think that God doesn't notice. For now, sure, God is not judging people in this way. He's not sending out chariots of fire to burn people up, but he is going to do this. And we have to believe that and to act in a way that recognizes that God is judging right now. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens behind one in the midst, eating pig's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, that's an unclean animal, they shall come to an end together, says Yahweh. For I know their works. See, they thought they could just get away with it. I know their works and their thoughts. You keep on seeing how God thinks that your heart is so important. He actually remembers the thoughts of people from thousands of years ago and is going to resurrect them and judge them according to those thoughts. The time comes that I will gather all nations and languages, and they shall come and shall see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send such as escape of them to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the islands afar off, who have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers out of all the nations for an offering to Yahweh, on horses, in chariots, in litters, on mules, on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring their offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. Of them also will I take for priests and for Levites, says Yahweh. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so your seed and your name shall remain. We just read in chapter 65 that God said, I will create new heavens and a new earth. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. So the new heavens and new earth is not literal. God's not going to literally destroy the sky and the planet. He's going to establish a new system. It will happen that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, says Yahweh. They shall go forth and look on the dead bodies of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind. So you can see then how it's going to be that people are going to see these people who could have been in the kingdom and who are not in the kingdom, and they're going to be aware of that forever. It's not that they're literally going to burn forever, because death is unconsciousness, and the wages of sin is death, what Revelation calls the second death. But we will be aware throughout eternity that there were many who didn't make it. There were many who will not be in God's kingdom, and they will have, Daniel says, shame and everlasting contempt. And that is how they will be treated. And so we live amongst people who sadly choose not to be in God's kingdom, and we've got to be aware of that and try by all means to persuade them otherwise. Because if they know the gospel, if they have this hope of the kingdom, but say, nope, I don't want it, they're going to be despised. They're not just going to be forgotten forever. They will not personally exist, but they will be remembered forever as those who despise God. That's the eternal, as it were, nature of their punishment that's spoken about here.